You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Although the trade deadline is coming up, which we will be talking about, the Mariners had a phenomenal weekend last weekend, and I definitely want to touch on that because, of course, the organization watched their first player ever be inducted into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm Allison Futter. I'm here with Greg Johns, who was there, which I'm sure was a wonderful experience, Greg. So, I watched the speeches, and they were wonderful. I was laughing at Junior, not laughing at him, but I knew he was going to be emotional, but he literally could not make it through the second sentence without breaking down. And what really made me laugh was the second sentence was him thanking the baseball writers for voting him in. And I think that might be the first time anyone's ever started crying when thanking baseball writers. So how was it just listening to his speech, and what did you think of it overall?
Yeah, I mean, that was Junior. You know, it was neat to see him kind of, he was nervous. I think the enormity of it all kind of hits you when you're up there, and then all the anticipation of that speech. Everybody knows that kind of your crowning moment in the game, and got a little sneak peek of it the night before. They had a Mariners party with a bunch of longtime Mariner employees and people that Griffey had known forever and worked with, and he got up and talked to that group, and 20 seconds into it started crying and fighting the tears and choking back the emotions. And so he sort of knew this when he got out there on the big stage. There's part of me thinking maybe the dry run the night before might help him, but no, it was kind of the same thing. And at 20 seconds in, he's starting to fight back the emotions. And it's funny, afterwards we asked him about it, and in 20 seconds he said, no, that wasn't 20 seconds, that was 24, wasn't it?
Oh, very clever.
He keeps the sense of humor about it. Didn't hide from the fact that it was a touching thing for him. This whole weekend was the end of a large buildup and a lot of emotions in the people and just kind of what it all meant to him and his family, especially and them being there and such a part of his life and part of that moment was fun to see. And he did. He did, it's the one thing I think he knew he wanted two things. He wanted to speak quickly because I think every veteran there had told him, what's your advice? Go quick, Junior. We don't want to be out there in the sun all day, So in the back of his mind, he didn't want to be the guy dragging that thing out. So he was trying to get through it. And at the same time, touch on the things that meant so much to him. So it was fun to be there. Definitely one of the highlights of my life, certainly as a sports writer, and being a part of that and kind of seeing some of the behind-the-scenes things and just getting to enjoy that with everybody else.
Yeah, I think it was somebody on MLB Network on the panel, I believe it was a former player, sort of brought up the point that, major league players are conditioned to always be, especially like during their career, to just be focused on that day, that task, to be looking forward, not too much, of course, but never, they don't really get a time to reflect back. And often, and this didn't happen, this doesn't happen with a lot of Hall of Famers because, of course, their exits are a little bit, with a little bit more fanfare. They can retire, kind of have some closure and like being celebrated a little bit as they're retiring, whereas, 99% of ball players, their careers just end. And they go away because they didn't make the team out of spring training, and that's it for them. I mean, that happens a lot. But to be able, this is like really the first time that they, verbally like put it into words to look back at a career, and I think that might be what makes them cry so much.
Yeah, it's funny. There's two things there, and one thing that maybe you mentioned several times over the weekend that when he was playing with his dad, that his dad kind of had the big picture and sort of understood where he was fitting into history and he being Junior and then how these accomplishments were going to be looked at upon. But it, as you said, it's at the time I'm just trying to play baseball and I'm not looking at that. I'm just trying to, hey, we got to win this game. We got to do this. Everything's built into that moment. So yeah, you're right. You get there. And I think, it was interesting. He had never been inside the Hall of Fame, never set foot in the building until this weekend. And the day before the ceremony, the induction, he and his family got a private tour after the thing shut down. And, of course, they were taking around and showing everything. And he had a chance to kind of absorb all that. And I asked him about that and what struck him. And he thought it was touching. He said, I realized that for the rest of my life, that's where I'm going to be. He said, for the rest of my life and beyond that. You realize, wow, when you're in there as a player that this is bigger than this is you know, this is history, and looking back at these guys that are no longer with us, and you know, that you do have a place, and he had a place. That was going to be where he is. That was remembered, and you know, beyond that. So that's, you know, I think when that hits you as a player, yeah, I think you're gonna, you realize the enormity of the whole thing.
Yeah, that is. And he comes from such a great family and such good people. So so that was fun to see. Okay, I hate to, I don't want to stop talking about this, but we do have to talk about the actual modern-day Mariners.
Still playing baseball, yes.
They are still playing baseball, and they are still playing relevant baseball, which is a good thing. I was interested to see, I don't know if there's a better word for interested, but that they had a swap and they acquired Drew Storen. And it's kind of like the, you take our guy who can't get anybody out, we'll take your guy who can't get anybody out, and see if maybe the change of scenery will do it. So the Mariners gave up Joaquin Benoit, got Drew Storen. Really a pretty savvy risk, I guess, because there's really no risk, right? And Drew Storen, he's like 2 years removed from being pretty darn good. So I guess that was worth it for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're looking at the upside and seeing if they can get him squared away. And I guess you don't have to look much further than Tom Wilhelmsen to see why they think they might be able to do that. Wilhelmsen has come back after just being horrible in Texas and has been lights out for Seattle in a different situation. And to Thomas, his situation coming back where he had been, and he's obviously comfortable here. Storen's going to come in cold to a whole different situation. So it will be interesting. He'd been DFA'd by the Blue Jays, ironically, after Nelson Cruz did a 3-run homer off him up in Toronto last weekend. And Storen, yeah, a guy that was a closer and a good one for the Nationals, and just didn't work out this year in Toronto. So can they get him squared away? You know, I guess somewhat of a low risk because, as you mentioned, Benoit had not been, you know, what they had hoped here in Seattle. Certainly, when they brought him in, thought he was going to be the setup guy. Been a quality setup guy for the last 10 years, and he's kind of had back problems early, and I think the reliability probably the biggest question there. He's pitched better lately, but just didn't always know if he's going to be available because of that back, and I think they're looking at Storm as a guy that's 28 as opposed to 39, and I think they can probably count on a little more to be out there. So if they can get him squared away, they're both been certainly taking a different mix, you know, with Edwin Diaz just being lights out. It just, you know, he's averaging two strikeouts an inning. I mean, he's had more strikeouts than any reliever in baseball since they brought him up. You know, the numbers are crazy. And Wilhelmsen also pitching real well there at the back end, so along with Cishek at the closer role. So if they can get Storen to fit in that mix, you know, there's another arm that can help him out. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
Yeah, it seems like the Mariners are a little bit like Humpty Dumpty putting himself back together again. I feel pretty optimistic about what could happen if, you know, Paxton kind of coming on strong, and then you've got Walker who is getting close. I guess what is a simulated game coming up? I know you have to be sort of cautious of the optimism here because he came off the DL and then immediately kind of went right back on it. But I guess he's making progress.
Yeah, just actually threw a sim game here 20 minutes ago from where I stand. Just came up to after watching him. He threw 3 innings, 45 pitches, and said he felt great. Foot felt good. He was throwing the fastball without issues. So, you know, that's a big step. If they can get him back, he's probably going to go out on a rehab game here in 5 days and see where that takes him. They want him to be able to, you know, get through a start with that foot not barking. And today he threw 3 innings and didn't have any problems. So if you mentioned, you know, they've gone through this process a couple times. They give him a longer break this time. There's definite hope that, you know, I mean, they had him in a walking boot, really tried to take the pressure off that foot. So, we'll see where they can get him. If you can get him back in there along with Paxton, and Felix has come back and thrown two starts here and still kind of feeling for his command, but obviously he can give him a boost down the stretch and see where those guys take him. Yeah, I think you're right. They're kind of mixing and matching, getting some different things. Mike Zunino has come up, doing a lot more of the catching duties and giving him a lift. And they need to get Ketel Marte back at short. He's out with mono. But, you know, you deal with those things through the year. But, they got the pieces. They're trying to get there to August 1st, the trade deadline, see what else DePoto does, and then make that push in the last 2 months.
Okay, sounds good. So do you think they'll do anything the trade deadline? I mean, I would imagine it'd be like maybe just a little, like, supplemental piece here and there that they might be looking at.
Yeah, with DePoto, I know they're going to do something. I mean, they've already made the two moves. They traded Montgomery and now Benoit. DePoto just seems to be a guy that has ideas, and he's going to act on them. I don't know if there'll be huge blockbuster moves. He's of the frame of mind, which I think is smart. If you have a move you think can make you better, you make it. You know, whether it helps you now or up down the road or both, ideally. They're not going to blow this thing up and start bringing in prospects. I think they're going to try to help themselves now. But he also has an eye open for guys that can be a part of the future down the road, like Dan Vogelsback, the kid they brought in the Montgomery trade. But now I'd be curious to see if we see him pretty soon. He seems pretty major league ready down in Tacoma. So left-handed bat. I mean, maybe they move Adam Lind, bring this Vogelsback up, and let him play first base. Be curious to see what they do. I think Wade Miley is a guy that could be moved if they can get the right pieces back. We'll see what DePoto's got. He seems to always have something on the burner.
Okay, we will pay attention. Monday will be a very interesting day for everybody. So, Greg, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Allison, good talking to you.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.